Yes, and you're very welcome back to Tuesdays at Kilkenny Today here on Community Radio Kilkenny City on 88.7 FM. Now, as I said to you, we're heading into space as usual on our usual slot here on a Tuesday with the one and only David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. David, you're very welcome back. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Now, you, Venus is in the evening skies and is getting higher in the coming weeks. Just explain that to us, how that's all working, will you?
Yes, Venus is actually quite far from the sun. Unfortunately for Ireland, most of that distance has been used to move it to the left of the sun instead of directly above the sun. So we haven't had a good view for the last few months, but that's changing. In fact, I see Venus most evenings when it's clear low down on the horizon. And it's going to get even higher up. So over Christmas, we'll have this brilliant star, about 100 times brighter than the brightest stars in the sky, blazing away after sunset. A lot of people are going to wonder, is it a Christmas star? Maybe even, is it a sign of a second coming? The answer is no. We don't think it's a Christmas star. That, I think, was Jupiter and Saturn.
Okay, now, and that's Wednesday and Thursday is the main time to see them, isn't it?
Well, in fact, from now until, in fact, all of January, not just December, but tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday is very special because the moon will come into the evening sky and pass Venus. So it'll be a bit tricky tomorrow night because Venus is already fairly low down and the moon will be below it. But fairly close, easy visible with the naked eye if you have a nice clear horizon as a south to west direction.
Yeah, and David,
the next day.
Yeah, go on. Go on, yeah.
The next day, Thursday, the moon will be about as high as Venus, but well to the left of Venus, but still very spectacular because the moon will be a lovely thin crescent. So, you know, you'll get a better chance probably on Thursday, although it won't be as close. So I'm going to be watching both nights tomorrow night and watch in twilight. As soon as it gets dark, sunset's around the 4 o'clock mark. So definitely by between 4 and half 4 is the time to start looking. That's when you'll see them highest. See how long you can follow them down to the horizon. And one great thing is that you can photograph these with a camera phone. They're the two brightest objects in the night sky, Venus and the moon. So even a simple camera phone should be able to snap them. And if you get a good result, do send it in to Astronomy Ireland on astronomy.ie. You'll see the email address to use to send in magazine submissions. Because we want to publish Irish photographs in the magazine.
Absolutely. And you do publish some really just spectacular photographs in the magazine. Now, this Wednesday and Thursday, because it's what's to be seen, the fact that we've returned to normal winters where we've had frost, we haven't had that for a long time, frost in a couple of days, the skies are clear. So they're much easier to see.
Yeah, I was out last night trying to take photographs of another thing. We'll talk about Mars near the Beehive Star Cluster. And the temperature was -3 Celsius, which was lovely. And what happens at this time of year is that the sun sets at 4 o'clock, doesn't rise till 8 o'clock. We get these extremely long nights. So people tend to associate them with clear skies. They certainly will be crisp nights with those kind of temperatures in the winter. But it's really that the night is so long. The Irish weather can change every 10 minutes. In fact, I had a few clouds last night, then it cleared up, then a few clouds. Then a few nights ago, I had rain, clouds, clear skies, the whole lot, all in the one night. So I think we have so much extra time for nighttime weather is why people remember crisp, clear skies in the summer. It doesn't get dark till after 11 p.m. Right. A lot of people aren't even up by then, so they miss the night sky. So we love the time that the clocks go back at the end of October because it brings the sunset really early and gives people lots of convenient evening hours of viewing.
For sure. Now, Mars near Beehive Star, just describe that for us, David. It's going to be over. It's happening over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Mars is because the way the Earth goes around the sun, Mars passed across sky over the weeks and months is quite convoluted. And it just so happens it's moving up towards this lovely star cluster that you can see with the naked eye called the Beehive Star Cluster. And it will slow up just before it gets to the cluster and then turn around and go back in the opposite direction over the next few weeks. So for this week and next week, we've got this lovely sight of Mars, which is getting close to the Earth, becoming extremely bright. It's already outshining all the stars in the sky, except for the planet Jupiter. And it's, if you've got a pair of binoculars, you'll get the best view, because just below it, in your binoculars, you'll see this lovely cluster of stars. I was having a look last night. I could count about 50 of them, and you get a hint of probably as many more. And if you've got really good eyesight and clear skies, you may be able to see the cluster just below Mars. Having Mars so bright sitting just above it might dazzle you a little bit, but if you've got a pair of binoculars, and that's certainly what everybody should have, not just for astronomy, just in general, they're so cheap these days, and they expand human eyesight so much, roughly a factor of 100, that they're terrific for everything, from looking at landscapes, bird spotting, to, of course, astronomy. And the view in binoculars last night was superb. And I'm telling you, over the next couple of weeks, everybody who's got a pair of binoculars has got to look at the planet Mars. It rises over in the east. About 8 o'clock it's up. So from 8 till midnight, you know, you can see it all night long if you want to stay up after midnight. But from 8 till midnight, there is this fantastic sight for your binoculars. So look in the east where the sun rises, if you don't know your compass directions. The brilliant sort of orangey-red star is Mars. Aim your binoculars at it. Just below it, you're in for a treat.
And most,
if you've got camera gear, you'll need good camera gear. I don't think camera phones will do this one. Although you can have a try. Even get a picture of. That's what I was trying to do last night for the magazine.
And of course, most phones have a compass on them, so they can find out where east is fairly quickly as well. Now,
yeah, great idea.
Before we go on to one or two other subjects, so just talk about Jupiter, because if we get clear nights this weekend, this is Jupiter's closest to the Earth this weekend.
Yes, we call it opposition. That means it's directly opposite the sun in the sky. And if you think of looking down on the solar system from out in space, you see the Earth going around the sun, and five times further out, Jupiter goes around the sun. So when you get the sun, the Earth, and Jupiter in a line, well, we on the Earth got sun in one direction, and Jupiter exactly on the opposite direction. So it's called opposition. It also therefore means that the orbits of the planets are roughly circles, that Jupiter will be at its closest and brightest. Now, its distance doesn't vary that much because it's five times further out from the sun than we are. Mars only 1.5 times further from the sun than we are. So its distance can actually vary a lot. It's on the far side of the sun, the long way, get across our orbit and then on to Mars. But when it's on the same side of the sun as us, it's actually very close. And its distance can vary by a factor of 4 or 5. That's Mars. Mars will be doing that in January. We'll talk about that then. That's why it's getting so bright. But back to Jupiter. Jupiter is technically at its closest, really all December. The exact moment is this weekend, but you won't know there's any difference between this weekend and the weekend after, or any weekend in December. So definitely Jupiter is the one to watch. I was looking at it through a telescope last night. The air was extremely steady, and I got one of the best views I've ever had in my life of the great red spot on Jupiter. So if you've got a powerful telescope, you can see incredible details on nights when it's really clear. And we published the time in the magazine for those few people who do have telescopes to actually spot the great red spot when it's crossing the middle of Jupiter.
Okay.
Because Jupiter spins every 10 hours, so you only get to see it for about 2 hours, 1 hour either side of it crossing the middle of the planet. But a fascinating sight.
Yes, absolutely. Now, speaking of telescopes, I know you discussed this with my colleague Patrick Blunden last week in my absence, but there's something bigger than the general election coming up next Friday, something more interesting for a lot of people, and that is the annual RTE toy show, and people will be looking out for telescopes to give. Have you anything else to add just in relation to that, in relation to telescopes for Christmas?
Well, there are details on our website if people are thinking of getting a telescope. I mean, it sounds like I'm plugging Astronomy Ireland. I suppose I am. But don't buy a telescope without getting the magazine, because you won't know what to see with it. I mean, you're going to see the moon and maybe Jupiter and Mars. You know where to look. But there's so much more to see, like Mars with that beehive star cluster below it. And every month it will tell you, you know, a dozen to a half a dozen really spectacular sights to see with the naked eye, but even better in a telescope. And the rough advice that we give on the website about telescopes is First of all, you should get a pair of binoculars. Everybody should have a binocular telescope. Said that already. And then if you're getting a small telescope, there are lens and mirror ones, and you go by diameter, not magnification. In fact, it's a dead handy tip. If you ever see a telescope for sale and it's being sold on the base of its magnification, you know not to touch it with a barge pole, because you know, scientists and engineers have built these telescopes. They're technically difficult things to make, and they know that magnification is not important. So if they're advertising magnification, it's a dodgy telescope.
Okay,
so go by diameter.
Diameter.
And if you need any advice, contact Astronomy Ireland.
Lovely. And finally, David, atmospheres of alien worlds. Now, we're getting into something here. This is a lecture on Monday.
Yeah, this is our Christmas lecture this year. So our lectures, monthly lectures now, are held online, so everybody in the country can get involved. So Monday at 7 p.m, we have Dr. Neil Gibson, who is now working at Trinity College Dublin, but has worked in Oxford, in Germany, using some of the biggest telescopes in the world, including the James Webb Space Telescope, the most expensive one ever built, €10 billion worth. And he's going to be talking about, we've been finding planets around other stars with various tricks, and we don't know exactly how big they are and what conditions are like on their surface, especially could they support life. But there are tricks, and the James Webb Space Telescope is very good at this, that if a planet passes in front of its star, any atmosphere it has will absorb light. And there are tricks and techniques he's going to explain that will tell us what the atmospheres of these planets are like. So it's the atmospheres of alien worlds. Are there any Earth-like planets out there? The answer is yes, but exactly how do we know it?
Okay, David, we'll have to leave it there. People can go on to the astronomy website. It's at 7 o'clock on Monday, that lecture is, and you can log on or sign into it on that. David Moore from Astronomy Ireland, thank you indeed for joining us on the programme. Now, that brings us to the end of this evening's programme.